As we come to God's Word this evening, would you turn with me to the Gospel of Luke? Luke's Gospel, chapter 2, beginning at verse 22, on page 1090 in the Bibles that are provided. It's good to be with you once again as we come to God's Word. Remember, it is His holy and inspired Word, and that is why we pay careful attention to its reading. Luke chapter 2, beginning at verse 22. And when the time came for their purification, according to the law of Moses, they brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord, as it is written in the law of the Lord. Every male who first opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was righteous and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came in the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles, and for glory to your people Israel. And his father and his mother marveled at what was said about him. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, Behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign that is opposed, and a sword will pierce through your own soul also, so that thoughts from many hearts may be revealed. This ends the reading of God's Word. Would you pray with me? Our Father in heaven, thank you for your word this night. Thank you for songs lifted to glorify your holy name. Thank you, our God, that this night we can gather at your word and you would speak to us, our Lord, through it by your Spirit. Teach us, direct our hearts, comfort us, that as your people, O Lord, we might know the full blessings that come to us in Jesus Christ, our glorious Savior. In his name we pray. Amen. Y'all like gifts? We all like gifts, don't we? We like birthday gifts. We like Christmas gifts. We like really most any kind of gift as long as it comes to us. And if Christmas means anything, it's about the getting of gifts, isn't it? Children, it's about presents, isn't it? Come on, don't lie to me. It's about getting gifts. It's about getting those presents. You're looking forward to that day when you can dig into those presents. It's about getting gifts. For children and adult alike, it certainly has become a day that is about getting gifts. Sometimes children, sometimes adults remind me of those, all right, work with me on this one, those seagulls from, Finding Nemo. Do you remember them? Whenever a flock of gulls saw something they wanted, the deafening refrain was, I'm going to step away from the mic, mine, 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 over and over and over again. What they want was mine. And sorry to embarrass them now, but I remember when my own children learned that word, and in their selfishness, like their father, of course, they cried out, mine. And it's even heightened at this time of the year. I don't No, but maybe you can identify with those seagulls too. Sometimes we can become quite selfish, whether we are children, young adults, adults, parents. We're all selfish in one way or another. But lots of times parents and others can get caught up in the frantic hustle and bustle of getting to stores in order to give those gifts, not always because we want to give, but because giving is expected, forgetting the nature of a gift even. Or maybe you're of the opinion that none of these will do because Christmas is supposed to be about the birth of a child, a very special child, God and man, the God-man, born to die, to save his people from their sins. Well, tonight I want to tell you about someone who gave. He didn't cry mine, even though the whole earth was his. Even though rightly all created order is his, yet it was his whole purpose in coming into the world to give. Not just little trinkets of earth, treasures on earth, but treasures of heaven. He came to give his life, as you know, a ransom for many. The whole of Jesus' birth was for this purpose, to save his people from their sin. He is God, come in the flesh to save us from our sins. This time of year, no matter our convictions on Christmas, our attention is drawn to the promises fulfilled, to the journey to Bethlehem, their lack of room in the inn, the manger in the town of Bethlehem, the angel's message of peace, the shepherds glorifying and praising God, and Mary treasuring all of these things up in her heart. This is how Luke tells the story of Jesus' birth. Now, I trust you're familiar with the promises. You're familiar with Micah 5 and the one to come, to hope for, who will be born in the town of Bethlehem. You know of Isaiah 7, Emmanuel will come, God with us, delightful, promises fulfilled that we're familiar with. This is the one to come, the promised one for centuries expected. Meditate upon that history for a moment. Beginning with Genesis 3, we read of the very first words of a child of hope coming into the world. A child of hope coming into the world was needed because Adam and Eve had fallen. Fallen from their beautiful relationship with God. And once our first parents had intimate communion with God, with their God in the garden, now their fellowship and ours was broken because of that rebellion. Because of their sin against their Lord, and that meant death, for you are dust, and to dust you shall return. But God promised one, didn't he? God promised one who would crush the head of the serpent who tempted Eve. God promised a son to remedy the fallen situation. God promised a son to remedy death and draw his people to himself in that intimate communion fellowship. Isaiah's prophecy furthers God's revelation to us of the Son of promise to remedy the fall. In the midst of what must have seemed like the end of all normal life, the promise of a particularly unique child breaks through in Isaiah 7 and 9. There we hear of the virgin birth of a child conceived by the Holy Spirit whose name would be Emmanuel, Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. Also Micah's prophecies of that same child, born with the government of the kingdom of God upon his shoulders. Micah speaks of this son, born a ruler of Israel. He will be born in Bethlehem, yet he is from long ago, from the days of eternity. And then in the fullness of time, the glory of the Lord appeared in a child. This child, this son of promise, who came into the world to remedy the fall of our first parents in sin and misery by his atoning death. This child, this king, entered the world not with pomp and circumstance, but with humility and humble form. The promise of old has come. You know these promises. You know about these promises. You know about the birth narratives of Jesus, this little one born in such humble and difficult circumstances, his parents driven by governmental decree from their homes in order to travel to Bethlehem for a census of all things, and they're not finding an appropriate place to spend the night with an expecting mother were forced to stay in the humblest of settings where their new son would spend his first days in the manger, in an animal feeding trough. You know about these circumstances, the lowly setting of Christ's birth, as well as the magnificent, glorious setting of the angels coming to the lowly shepherds and the mysterious magi who come from the east bearing gifts, worshiping this child told to us by Matthew. All of these are what we think about during this season when so many remember the birth of Jesus and all that is good for us to do. But this evening, I want to turn your attention to the presentation of Jesus at the temple. We read it this evening in Luke 2, verses 25 through 20, or excuse me, 25 through 35. And here in these verses, Luke tells us the story of Mary and Joseph as they brought their new son to the temple in accordance with the law. And there at the temple, Luke tells us about this patient old man named Simeon. Simeon was a man molded by devotion and hope. Luke writes plainly that he was righteous and devout, looking for the consolation of Israel. Not only that, it had been revealed to him that he would not see death. He would not see death until he had seen the Lord's Messiah, the Lord's Christ. Simeon was promised by the Holy Spirit that he would not die until he saw the consolation, the comfort of Israel, the one he looked for with such hope and expectation. And now in the presentation of this little child to him, as he takes up this child into his arms, as he takes his God, the God-man, into his arms, he says, "Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory of your people Israel." What do we see in Simeon? We see in Simeon a picture of God's faithful people receiving her Messiah, her Redeemer, her Deliverer, and consolation. If all of Israel had done this. We see promises fulfilled. We see the whole history of the world move from old to new. Nothing will ever be the same again. Simeon receives that which he has heard and seen by faith and hope in God and in him alone. He is the epitome of a faithful, reconciled, and restored people of God. Having now seen the salvation of God, he is comforted and he is consoled, redeemed, and Holy Spirit-filled. Simeon welcomes the Christ, full of the Spirit. Simeon existed. He lived. He lasted, we might say. Specifically for this day, for the purpose of receiving this Christ in his arms. Specifically for this day, for the purpose of receiving this child and holding him. To embrace this little one, Simeon's God. Simeon lived for God alone, for the coming of God in his arm of salvation. For this Christ alone, promised to him by one who cannot lie, his life wrapped up completely with this anticipation of this Messiah to come, whom he now holds in his arms. Waiting. Patience. It's difficult. For adults and young adults, it's even harder for little ones, as many of you know. Some of you might know this well. Expecting a new child can be kind of like Christmas as a kid. And that hope and expectation, looking forward to Christmas Day, the day that I finally get to see all my gifts. I remember saying to Sarah, pregnant with our firstborn, maybe some of you can relate to this, it's like Christmas. I just couldn't wait. I didn't want to wait. I knew I had to wait, but I didn't want to. And it was the same for each child after that. Every day was a day closer to when this new child, this new gift would be revealed. Every day, a day closer, and the anticipation built within me. For many of you children, I'm sure some of you children at heart, that you have that feeling right now. The day is coming soon, no, too soon for some of you, when you will get to tear open the gifts. All the waiting, no more need for patience, right? Tear the paper right off those presents. That's how I felt awaiting the birth of my son and daughters each time. And I think many of you can identify with me in that, this wonderful gift greater than I could ever have imagined. And that, I think, in some degree is how we might understand, just trying to get a sense of the excitement of Simeon at the gift he has just received. Truly the gift of all gifts. What a gift this man receives. He didn't just have to wait with anticipation a few days or a few months. No, Simeon is an old man who waited with expectation and anticipation all his life. Ever since he received word from God through the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he saw the Lord's Messiah, the Christ child, and now embracing his Savior, he can depart in peace. In many ways, in Simeon, we see a picture and patterns of the church, both as an institution and individually. Like Simeon, we await Christ's return as Simeon waited for his gift, the first coming of Christ. And that requires patience, doesn't it? It requires trust. It requires trusting in God's word to us as Simeon trusted in that revelation to him. I reflected upon the birth of my children and the expectation and the excitement, waiting. But when I had growing, maturing children and who must also learn to be patient and wait themselves. And we all know that waiting is not easy, as Mo Willems has taught us. For anyone who doesn't know who Mo Willems is, just let me know afterwards and we can talk about that. But waiting is not easy. We used to define waiting to our, or patience to our children as waiting without complaint. Waiting is not easy. The cry goes out, how long? Really? Little ones see the gifts mostly for them and they cry, mine, mine, lunging for, grabbing for them. Essentially, I know it's for me. Let me open it now. There's no reason to wait or be patient. But there is reason to be patient, isn't there? There is reason to hope and trust. Our children might not see it as we would like, but we are the ones who must teach them in the church to trust God's word, to trust God's son. So also as Simeon found the whole of his life wrapped up in the promises of God, do you not as well? Your whole lives are wrapped up in the promises of God. Do we not find our whole lives formed around this one who has come and will come again? Everything you do has to do with that day that is coming. Your whole world is wrapped up in that. If it's not coming, what does Paul say? This is vanity. Maybe I should ask it this way. Shouldn't we find our whole lives wrapped up around this child? Around this one born to die for his people. Paul expresses it this way in Philippians 2:21. For to me, to live is Christ, to die is gain. Can you say anything less? Can you stand anything less in your lives? after having been given such a gift as this child, who has given to you at such, which was given to you at such great cost and with such great consequences, can you stand anything less in your lives? For Simeon tells us also that this little child is the rise and fall of many in Israel. He is a sign to be opposed. He will be a sword of division. You cannot have the creche without the cross. Simeon's song speaks to both. The joy and the exuberant exaltation of his prayer is in stark contrast to the warning of the prophecy that follows. The Messiah, the Christ child that Simeon holds to himself, this one who will be the glory of Israel, will cause division and be rejected by many in Israel. Here you see we have the first glimpse of the suffering servant in Luke's gospel, prophesied by Isaiah. Jesus will be attacked and rejected, scorned for the kind of redemption he brings with him. These things will bring anguish to Mary. A sword will pierce for your own soul. But through all of this opposition to Jesus' ministry, men and women and boys and girls will be brought to a point of realizing there are only two ways to live, for God or for myself. By faith or by sight, through him many hearts, your heart will be revealed. What does the Word of God say to your heart this evening? We remember and celebrate today, as every Lord's Day, the life, ministry, the death, and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. December 25th, to many, is called Christmas Day. It's not a holy day. There's only 52 of those. Today is one of them, the Lord's Day. But it is a day that many enjoy as a celebration of the birth of the Christ child, Jesus of Nazareth. Lord's Day by Lord's Day, we celebrate his coming into this world, God himself taking the form of a man in such great humiliation and mercy toward us. We remember that it is in this one that we see salvation. What was it? What was it that Simeon says? Behold the salvation in my hands. I have seen the salvation of God. We remember that it is in this one that we see salvation. Salvation from our sins against the holy God. We remember that he comes to save Jew and Gentile. Remember, though, this as well. Remember how he saved you. Remember how he saved you. Remember, dear saints, that we should not just think upon Jesus as the baby born in the manger. Remember the creche and the cross. Remember that this child will grow up to die for you as the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. The Lamb led to the slaughter. He'll bleed for you. Without his blood, there is no peace with God, no consolation, no comfort, no embracing of this child. Without the cross and the resurrection over sin and death, without the blood shed on the cross and the resurrection from the dead, God could not have take you to himself and cradle you as his own, because you would still be hardened in soul, dead in your sins. But the child brings with him salvation. Salvation for you and for me with the cross, the blood of the atonement, the Lamb of God who lay within the manger, proclaims salvation to you precisely because he has died for his children. That's the gift of what so many call Christmas. As Simeon takes this child into his bosom, he finds true comfort, he finds true consolation, and everything is well with him, even though his departure from this earth is very near. His expectations fulfilled. His anticipated gift has arrived, and he holds Jesus to himself with delight. Even it will be that this child who is the one really holding him. What about you? To return to the question that we started with, what's Christmas about? What's the coming of Jesus about? Yes, it's about a gift to you and me, but the best gift of all, his very own Son. God's gift to you and me, Jesus. Simeon's gift. Is it your gift as well? Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, how we thank you for the coming of our Savior Jesus Christ into this world. How we thank you, our God, as we reflect upon this song of Simeon, meditating, O Lord, upon that good gift that he received and the song that he sang. Promises fulfilled in great expectation satisfied. We too ourselves, O Lord, we pray, we ask that we might wait upon you patiently, though with great expectation and anticipation for your coming, O Lord. We ask, Father, bless us as your people. Draw hearts near unto you, O God, we ask, even as we see in this passage, O God, how Simeon just delights in receiving the Savior. We pray in your name. Amen.